We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath off the heels of another successful Horvath happy hour. That's what I call it. I'm gonna get it to stick. The Chuck and Winkler pregame show. We're here with you until 10 o'clock. Bill Michaels after that, Wendy's Big Show. We've got Michael Lombardi, radio.com at 8. One of our NFL insiders, Mike Clemens, in the 9 o'clock hour.
We can call it the happy hour when we do the Bill Michaels takeover. How about that?
You want to take over Bill's show?
Well, you know, we can switch. Or we could do like 9 to 10, and then you and I from, you know, us three guys, if Bill wants to join us, from 10 until 2.
So
Bill can do early mornings.
Horvath does the first hour, and then we do the next
three.
Yeah,
9 o'clock sounds more like really happy hour.
And then Horvath does 9 o'clock? Do we leave?
No. Then we do 10 to 2.
Now we're doing a 7-hour day?
No. I said Bill would flip and do our show.
Oh, okay.
Bill would have to get up early in the morning.
Today would have been the perfect
us
day
guys
because
could
that game ended at like midnight.
Us guys could add 10 more years back to our life.
Yeah. A lot of gray hairs these last
You know, normally
months.
Normally I will say that I get out of bed and I never think like, oh, it's the morning. Today I did. I think most of us stayed up late last night. Most of you guys that are on the roads already this morning or listening on the radio.com app. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't care. Maybe the game went too long. Maybe you forgot that college football was still going on, but LSU wins the national championship 42-25 last night over Clemson. And I think that one thing that I did see some conversation about, and this is something that we would definitely be talking about had the Packers lost Sunday, and this is something we're going to talk about no matter how this season ends, is there was some good talent on display last night, and not just at the quarterback position, as we've been talking about on the Horvath happy hour with Trevor Lawrence and then the greatest specimen to ever walk the planet, allegedly, Joe Burrow. The wide receivers in this game were very good, and the wide receivers in college as a whole are very good. This 2020 draft class coming out is loaded. You've got guys like Justin Jefferson, who you saw last night, Higgins, who you saw last night with Clemson. Alabama's got a handful of guys that are going to come out and be top picks. You've got a lot of guys, CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. So there's a lot of good talent at wide receiver. And for a team that needs more help, Packers have the Niners coming up this weekend. This is a good time to strike. You would think that they use their first-round pick, no matter how the season ends, on a wide receiver. There's going to be some very good talent there. Maybe you stack up again later in that draft. Last time they did that, obviously a couple years ago, where they drafted three guys and only one of them is playing for them right now in Valdez Scantling and being very unproductive. I do wonder, though, how much of a difference, if at all, Equanimeous St. Brown would have made this year. I mean, maybe an over-the-middle guy. I don't think he would have had 75 catches. I just, you know, we tend to forget about him that he's still with this club on this roster.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have made much of a difference. You know, I was getting in a debate with a guy in the media on Sunday who was telling me Kumro could be a primetime player at the Packers. I'm trying to tell this guy.
Oh, please expose him. Who was it?
Oh, no.
Shame him.
Well, I said,
shame
here's
him.
What I did. Kumro bobbled
shame
that.
Him.
Kumro bobbled that ball.
It's got to be somebody from Green Bay.
No.
Rookie or coach or whatever his name is.
Is it a friend of the show or is it a competing member?
He's kind of a competing member.
Oh, kill him, though.
He bobbled the ball. Now, he bobbled the ball and it went out of, you know, the ball, he dropped the one target that he had. And I said, Kumro's terrible.
Yeah, he is.
I don't mean he's terrible,
no, he's,
but you guys know what I mean.
No, he's bad.
And I just, I was like, and he goes, he's terrible. He's not terrible. I'm like, well, he's not good enough to be a top three or top four receiver. He says, certainly is. He could be at the primetime play. I'm like, come on. And I just like ended the argument right there. It's like, come on, Kumro's not going to be
a primetime player.
Exactly.
Right. Come on.
A primetime player.
Block a
he's
little
been,
bit.
He's been in the, yeah, blocking skills are decent. But I mean, He could make a play every once in a while, but he's not going to be. He's been in the league long enough with a couple of different organizations. I think we've realized the sample size that he's never going to be a number two wide receiver.
I think you got to shame him.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I think you got to.
No.
Can you shame him after the show? That,
no.
Then during the pregame tomorrow when you're not here, I can shame him?
No. You need there's someone telling me, someone that covers the Packers regularly, that has seen Jay Kummerow play for a couple of seasons now, that has seen Jay Kummerow get an opportunity. I mean, there's been opportunities, and it's been Alan Lazard who has crawled his way off the practice squad to come up and be the number two receiver. And there's still someone that's going to games, and they were there. They had a media credential for a divisional round playoff that says Jake Kummerow is going to be a primetime player.
Can be a his words were he could be a primetime. Like,
you've got
no,
to expose him.
No.
You've got to expose him. We'll get the Chuck and Winkler mob after him via Twitter.
It was just a. When he said that, I just like, okay, you don't know what you're talking about. So we moved on after that.
How many games this season has Jake Kummerow had more than two catches?
Well, he's had like a handful of plays.
Trivia question for you: How many games this season?
I would say two.
Has he had more than two catches?
I would say two.
The answer is zero.
Okay, two would have been a high number.
He's topped out at two catches on four different occasions. He's had one catch games on four different occasions, and then he had eight games without anything.
He had the one catch for 40. Was that against Oakland? I'm trying to remember. He had the nice play over the shoulder. It was at Lambeau Field. It was near sidelines. Good play. And that was it.
He had a 37-yarder against Oakland for
That's
a touchdown.
It. That's it.
That was his lone touchdown of the season.
Yeah.
I've got people guessing who this media member was.
No.
Have I gotten a fight with them on Twitter?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even. I told you, I block out your fights. But anyway, but you're right. St. Brown isn't part. I don't think any of these guys who they drafted or undrafted, like Kummerow, part of the equation. You know, yeah, if they go out and get – I mean, Alabama's got a load. Alabama, they have three guys who potentially could go first or second round. I mean, Alabama's got wide receivers who are really, really, really good. The Packers need to either go there or spending some money through free agency, guys. If the Packers spend some money through free agency to get the number two and number three wide receiver, I think ultimately I've said that's the one thing that – one of the things that will keep them from going to the Super Bowl is they didn't have enough playmakers on this team – or a good number two, but that's certainly something they got to fix in the offseason, either through free agency or the draft.
414-799-1250. You guys can chime in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike is in Oak Creek at 799-1250. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's cracking, gentlemen?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I know you guys said, this next draft, NFL draft, they just loaded with receivers, but what do you guys think, like, late second, early third? If Cephas is still on the board, would you take him? And you guys think he could come in and be a star right away? Just wanted to see what you guys thought because I think that guy's got a lot of potential. Of course, we've seen him all the time play being here in Wisconsin, but that guy's built like a monster too, man, and I think that guy could be a stud in our organization. Just want to see what you guys think.
You know, I'm looking at the draft report here of about wide receivers that are ahead of him. And I love Cephas, and he's right. We do see him a lot. But I've seen all these receivers that are ranked ahead of him on the draft board. Unless I've missed something here. But I mean,
I don't see Cephas as a second or third round guy.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
might be a reach.
So much talent.
I'm not saying the guy can't play in the NFL, but there's probably better receivers better than him.
There is so much talent at wide receiver, and some you guys are familiar with and some you're not. But there is so much talent at receiver that is coming out in this draft that I think the Packers, then they can still go free agency, but you have got to, even if it's pick 32, if they win the Super Bowl, you've got to use your first round pick on a receiver. I don't think they can avoid that. There's going to be whoever's still there at 32 is going to be so good yet that you've got to use your first round pick on a receiver.
Or second round. I mean, if there's that much depth at wide receiver, you might be able to, but that's a heavy need. That is a heavy need. I mean, you look at where else do they need help? Obviously, they need offensive line help. You wouldn't draft them. You wouldn't draft somebody in the first round, an offensive lineman. The Packers have done that before and been burned. But I would say, yeah, if there's a dynamic wide receiver toward the end of the first round, sure, why not? Why not? Or if you move back, or if you saw somebody in the second round that you really had a target on, but Yeah, definitely high in the first couple of rounds. You got to get a wide receiver in here.
I'll take Cephas over T. Higgins. I just think that he's got Sammy Watkins written all over him, that he's just going to be injured all the time. The kid from Clemson last night, he struggled against Ohio State. He struggled again a little bit last night. Then he got injured. I just think he's going to be off and injured. I think Cephas will be all right, but no, I think all those guys from the SEC and the ACC, I mean, you saw how much different the game is. And I love Big Ten football just as much as the next guy, but you guys saw the speed on the field last night for LSU and Clemson. These guys are running 4.2, 4.3 40s. Look at DK Metcalf's a great example, another receiver that came from the SEC. Let's say that he doesn't have a fractured neck last year. He probably goes as a top 15 pick. A guy that runs a 4.3 40 that's built like that, that's what SEC and ACC football is right now.
And I wonder where Cephas, you know, if he'll drop because he had the sexual assault charges that were dropped, but let's face it, he was facing some time in prison if he
Tyreek Hill still got drafted.
No, I know. But
did a lot worse.
But he could, but Tyreek Hill and Cephas wasn't even ranked in as one of the top receivers going in the draft anyway, but he could drop, or he may not even get drafted. Who knows, based on, you know, how some of these NFL executives.
I think because he's played a year now, it's kind of been put behind.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Sometimes that, you know, NFL executives hold that against him and he drops a little bit. That's happened before.
Jerry Jeudy is a stud out of Alabama. He's probably going to be the first receiver taken. Henry Ruggs out of Alabama could go. CeeDee Lamb, who I mentioned from Oklahoma. There is a guy who the Packers have already been linked to, or at least this is what they're mocking a lot of teams are. A lot of guys are Devonta Smith out of Alabama. So yeah. Alabama's got three guys that you could be looking at. T. Higgins, of course, is up there. Colorado's got a good receiver coming out. Arizona State's got another one. Michael Pittman out of USC. There are guys in this draft to be had. Justin Jefferson, who you saw last night out of Clemson, or LSU rather, getting Davante Adams comps. So he's getting Davante Adams comps. It's a loaded class. I'll tell you what I want out of this draft right now, even though the Packers are still in the playoffs. I want a wide receiver, one of these 10 guys that I just kind of went through, or I would like a quarterback in this draft as well.
I feel like this is a conversation we should be having had the Packers lost this past weekend.
Yeah.
Well, no, we just did good 10 minutes, so cut it and save it, and then we'll all take a little break in about 4 weeks and just re-rack this.
About 9:20.
Yeah. I just think, you know, I mean, just even this last weekend.
It's hard not to think, though, when you watch the national championship game, not to interrupt, and you watch college football, how good some of these receivers are. It's hard not to think, hell, the Packers could take one of those guys you saw last night this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need the year to wait. Let's get one of these guys now.
And I even put on Twitter during the Rose Bowl, Cephas would be the Packers' second best receiver right now. And that's no joke. He probably would be.
Well, I don't know about that. You've got Devontae, who's one.
And then who?
Kumaro's a primetime player.
No. Well, you know, combined with all these receivers that are in the draft and what we saw last night and how the Packers get nothing once again this last Sunday at the number two spot, I mean, how could you not look at it and say, geez, the Packers definitely could use any one of those guys on the field last Sunday?
Will you shame the media guy?
No, I'm not going to. No.
Is he a recognizable guy?
Probably not. No. He's probably not one of the guys who would come to mind. So I'm not going to.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll let him.
No, I don't. I think 95% of our listeners would know him.
Okay.
He's a good guy. He just was like, I don't know where he's coming on this tape.
Why don't we just, can we get him on at 9 o'clock today? Or is he like on a different?
That's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. He just, this was just a regular conversation with he and I, and it just kind of ended after 30 seconds.
It's a big deal to me.
Because this guy thinks, too. This guy, he thinks I'm too harsh on players. He thinks I'm too tough on guys.
Is this guy like a high school special teams coach or something? He likes Kumaro. He thinks you're too hard on the players. Like, that's our job.
I'm not a Whitewater grad either. No.
Interesting. All right. Well, I guess that mystery. It's another Chuck Freeman mystery where he gives us 90% of the story.
Well, I'm not going
to
throw
the
guys.
Then we have to guess the other 10.
Is it the cutting edge guy?
Yeah, Giannis is leaving. They all think so. Who? We won't tell you.
But the guy's name is irrelevant.
He's probably listening to the show right now like, oh, man, these guys are really destroying me.
Yeah. Jeez.
And his Kumaro Whitewater jersey.
I told Chuck Freeman that in confidence, and here he is. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers this hour. He really had a lot of good stuff to say after that game on Sunday, and we didn't really hear much of him yesterday, but a couple of moments where he looked around Lambeau Field and lot of people just a little more proud to have him as their quarterback. So we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. One other big story yesterday in the world of sports, which maybe some of you would be okay with one of our teams doing some scandal out of the world of baseball. It's Chuck and Winkler. More from you guys as well at 799-1250 here on The Fan.
Here's the snap. Offensive line holds the throw, looking for Chase. Caught! Right corner of the end zone! Touchdown, LSU! And the Tigers have their first lead of the ball game.
You know, every time that LSU's won the national championship, it's been in New Orleans. All four times. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Ja'Marr Chase, you might think, oh, yeah, he would look good in a Packer uniform. 9 for 221 last night, two scores. Might have to wait a year on him. He's just a sophomore. But his teammate Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins on the other side, who rushed for a touchdown, three catches. There's some good receivers coming out in this draft. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath, 414-799-1250. As we get ahead for Packers Niners coming up this weekend. Skyler's on the north side. Skyler, what's up with you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you been?
Oh, I've been good. I'm glad that we pulled it out.
The Packers
or yeah. LSU?
Sorry, the Packers.
Okay.
Or something way off the map.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I just wanted to ask Chuck a question real quick because I always argued about this. So. If you consider they consider you black even if you mix because you were saying Patrick Mahomes is black.
Wait, say that again.
I said if you're mixed, are you considered black if you're mixed? Because I thought Patrick Mahomes was mixed. I was just asking. That's all. I'm not trying to start no conversation.
Isn't that kind of using that term? Isn't that kind of not PC anymore? Isn't it like you have to say the word biracial?
Yeah, but that's what I thought. That's what I thought Patrick Mahomes was.
Oh,
not because you said he was black.
Well, I don't know. Do we really want to go there? I hate going on race issues. If you haven't noticed in the last couple of days, because I think a white guy going on race issues is always a bad road to go on. Okay, let's just make that clear. I don't know. Biracial, whatever you want to say. I don't look at him as. Yeah, I mean he's a good quarterback. Lamar Jackson's a good quarterback. Joe Burrow's a good quarterback. I'm not as burned out on Joe Burrow, you know, and this I don't look at it as a white-black issue as you do, Bart. But I can see where people would be burned out on Joe Burrow because I feel like anytime you put on ESPN and they're talking college football, every other word is Joe Burrow.
I brought this up. This was at the end of Horvath's happy hour, the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. Skyler, thank you. Is that Lamar Jackson lost over the weekend and I saw a lot of people excited and saying good as if Lamar Jackson's his enemy because he was shoved down our throats by ESPN. And I thought, what the Lamar, if he was shoved down, he's the MVP.
Yeah.
He's doing things that you've never seen since Michael Vick. And he's like almost better if not. And then Joe Burrow wins last night, and I haven't heard one bad thing about him.
Well, this happens.
So I'm thinking, well, what's the difference here?
But
and
this
that's why I brought that up.
I think, Bart, this happens for the national networks and media all the time, where college basketball player, college football player, pro football player, NBA, I mean NBA, I mean ESPN, every other thing. I told you when I'm watching the jump is every other sentence is LeBron James. All right. National media, everything is all about the Lakers. Okay. But that's just what the national media gets a hold of somebody for the moment and they won't let go. Like today, I think where the national talk should be all about the Super Bowl and the NFC championship, AFC championships, they're going to be talking, they're going to run this whole baseball cheating scandal down people's throats today. And that'll be the topic for 2 or 3 days.
Well, that should be. That's a huge story.
It is. But I mean, they will beat that thing to death.
We should beat that thing to death.
Well, not. Well, we're. A
I mean,
show.
We're gonna. No, we're gonna talk Packers Niners. This is the main story around here. But having a guy and a GM, a manager and a GM, get suspended for a year and then fired. They're never gonna work again.
Well, they can
because if you hire them, you've gotta sit for a year.
Oh, that's not true. They can work for the Patriots.
Jeez. All right, someone saw a Facebook meme last night.
On Twitter, actually.
Oh, Twitter?
Yeah.
Chuck,
I think
Freeman.
You went on Facebook.
Try the veal.
Yeah,
go on Facebook for news, not for people. People are dumb. News is good.
I like the people you know section. You're always like, man, I remember her from high school.
That's her? Is that what she turned out to
be? And
then
you're like, whoa, thank God I dumped her back sophomore year.
And then 10 minutes later, you're on with your day. As far as the cheating thing, though, because I think that what's interesting is the Astros, they're not going to lose their 2017 World Series. And the cheating, if you don't know much about the baseball story, they were basically stealing signs. Well, what's the big deal? Everyone steals signs. They were using technology to do it. And it was a very coordinated system where there'd be a bang, bang, and then the batters would know what kind of pitch was coming. And it was all exposed by Mike Fiers, former Brewers pitcher, because he was mad that guys were getting hit off the Astros and then getting sent down and losing their jobs. So Mike Fiers has played a big role in this operation. So A.J. Hinch, manager of the Astros, Jeff Luhnow, the general manager, both get a year suspension. And then the Astros brass is like, you know, we're not going to deal with this. We're just going to fire them. But if you're an Astros fan and you win the 2017 World Series for cheating, and then 2 years later there's guys that have consequences for it. I mean, you didn't know in the moment that they were cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Second, they're not taking that away from you, the World Series championship. So if you're telling me that right now that the Packers are somehow cheating and I don't know about it, and in 2 years Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst get fired, okay. Well, we won the Super Bowl.
If it was college sports, if LSU was caught doing some of the same things, they'd take the national championship away from them. All right, but in the pro level, of course they're not going to do it. They're not going to suspend players.
They're not going to take it away and give it to the Dodgers.
Yeah, no. They're not going to do that. College level, they would just vacate the national championship, which they've
done
in the past.
So as a fan, if you know if your team cheats and you get to enjoy winning the Super Bowl and or the World Series or the NBA Finals, and now as a fan, keep in mind, you don't know the cheating's happening. So it's not a question of would you cheat or would you not cheat, or you know what kind of ethics do you have. You don't know. Let's say, hypothetically, the Packers are cheating in some way,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know it right now, but it's happening. And we're not going to find out for another 2 years. And then in 2 years, LaFleur and Gutekunst get fired. Okay. I mean, it's no sweat off my back. I didn't know. I'm not partial to anything. I got my Super Bowl. I still feel good.
No, but if you found out, if the Packers were found out 2 years from now, let's say by stealing the other team's play, let's say they were plugged into the other team's headsets, okay, somehow, in the, let's say it's the Seattle game or games all season long, or you know even this game out in San Francisco, somehow they were stealing things from the opponent. And they found out 2 years ago, later, that, well, hey, the Packers are cheating. I wouldn't feel good about winning the Super Bowl at all. And if I was an Astro fan, I wouldn't feel good about winning that World Series knowing that my team was cheating the whole time. I mean, the owner of the organization, the Astros, even said, you know, hey, we're done with these guys. If I had known it happened, these guys would have
been gone
a long time ago.
But he also said it didn't taint the World Series.
But it does.
They said, does it taint the World Series to you? He says no.
I mean, I think everybody will have a different opinion on that. Yours is obviously, you know, you and I are different on that. If I'm an Astro fan, I was like, man, but hey, we won a World Series in 2017, or if the Packers won the Super Bowl this year, but they were found to be cheating, I'd be like, yeah, but they cheated their way to get there.
You know, every time I talk about like a cheating issue, I think it comes across that I love cheating. What I think is there's a line, and sometimes we can cross it and sometimes we don't. I mean, you've got scouts in basketball that are dissecting every plays. I saw a tweet last night, I think from Mark Stein with the New York Times, who says every time basketball guys call out a play, they know what they're running because they've studied it.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, this is like the same thing. You're just doing it in the game. And I get that there's the line might be the use of technology during the game, and maybe there's no need for it. I mean, they didn't have this 20 years ago where you could study at bats and pitchers during the game. You'd have to wait until later. So there is a line like that.
I don't know. If my team was cheating and I didn't know in the moment, I found out 2 years ago, I mean, you're not going to take the great memories away that you had. You're not going to take away how fun it is right now to root on the Green Bay Packers. I don't think the fans should be punished for something that they didn't know happened.
Well, the Astros aren't the only one who's cheating out there. There's other teams. They just haven't been caught yet. There's a lot of bad things going on in sports where teams have never been caught, or we don't know about it or whatever. But trust me, cheating scandals, gambling scandals, they happen in sports. Most of the time, teams are never caught. So I told you a long time ago, I don't trust anything in sports. I don't trust officiating. You really sometimes question things. You know, you question is this a legitimate game? Is this official on the take? I mean, I do. I've just seen so many things where I just like, man, how is that official? NBA, for instance, David Stern, you know, God rest his soul. I didn't trust a thing when the NBA finals or the conference finals playoffs goes. I didn't know if any of those games were on the up and up.
You know what you can trust is the men and women over at Sound Decisions. They've been doing car audio systems since 1972. And along the way, they've come to sell more remote car starters than anybody else on the market. They've got the leading brands when it comes to remote car starters. They've got competitive pricing. And the installation took them less than 2 hours to do it for me. And then to show me how it works, can you press this button, sir? Yes. Oh, my goodness, my car started. And now it's warming up. And that's great for the winter season. Sometimes we'll think, hey, it's not too bad today. I didn't wear a coat today. All right, so you're thinking, hey, okay, look, you get a little arrogant, you get a little confident about winter, and then what does it do? It always comes back and nails you with a foot of snow or nails you with 10 degrees below zero. You can't change winter, but you can try to beat it. The remote car starter is one of those ways. Ease the pain of cold Wisconsin winters. First thing in the morning, especially, you got up, you're in your car, you're cold. A remote car starter could have helped you with that. Call Sound Decisions today, 262-633-8300. Get yourself started on the remote car starter system for your car or for your significant other's car, a friend, a mom, a dad. Help somebody out that you know. Recommend Sound Decisions. Check them out on Facebook, or the website is brightpinkmailbox.com. There is a story behind that. We'll let Chris, the owner, tell you all about that. For a peace of mind and a warm and toasty car this winter, check out a remote car starter from Sound Decisions. A couple of moments in this game for the Packers on Sunday that the Packers, Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, really made a point to let them sink in. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers coming up next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
And good morning from the 105.7 FM, the Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on the Fan, a big night for Joe Burrow. He threw 5 touchdown passes, ran for another score, finished off one of the most dominant seasons in college football history by leading the top-ranked LSU Tigers to a 42-25 victory against number 3 Clemson on Monday night in the playoff final. NBA action. Bucks return to the court tonight after 3 straight wins on the road when they host the Knicks at the Pfizer Forum. Tip-off tonight, 7 p.m. post-game coverage to follow on the Fan. Major League Baseball news, Houston Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow as well as manager A.J. Hinch both fired by owner Jim Crane on Monday after Major League Baseball's announcement of discipline following the sign-stealing scandal. A league investigation confirmed the Astros had cheated by using a camera-based sign-stealing system during the regular season and the playoffs, as well as their World Series winning 2017 season and 2018 regular season. NFL, Packers opened as a 7-point underdog for their NFC Championship matchup in San Francisco with the 49ers coming up this Sunday. Kickoff will be 5:40 p.m., pregame coverage beginning at 3, postgame coverage to follow on the Fan with Bill Michaels, as well as former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. Read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. The update brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Is your family prepared for this cold and flu season? Well, then knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner, which is backed by more than 80 clinical studies. Visit them today at Exergen.com. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere, download the Radio.com app, and favorite The Fan today as we continue to preview 49ers-Packers NFC Championship game coming up this Sunday at 5:40.
I made two calls on Matt LaFleur last night to NFL sources. You know what they say about Matt LaFleur? People weren't sure he had the stature, the gravitas, and the alpha to lead a group of men as a coordinator, not a coach. The knock on Matt LaFleur is nobody's quite sure if he can stand in front of guys in an offensive meeting and own the room.
Matt LaFleur is not ready to be a head coach in the NFL, and therefore there are going to be issues with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. They are going to have a massive eruption. It's going to be a disaster.
The schedule offers a few more landmines than I think anybody really wants to discuss. You look at their first eight games in Green Bay, outside of the layups against Oakland and Detroit at home, could potentially lose those other six games. So at these current prices, I would lay the short price that Green Bay misses the playoffs.
The Green Bay Packers have a real issue on defense, and that is in their front seven, they don't have that dictator no more. I know Clay Matthews was not a heavy run stopper, but he created havoc.
But I still think this Packers team hasn't proven that they're vastly improved on offense. I know their defense is markedly better, and they're good, but they're not as good as that Bears defense. They're not as good as that Minnesota defense. Last year, the Packers missed the postseason. That's where I'm going again.
Aaron Rodgers is aging. He ran a Super Bowl-winning coach out of town. Good luck to Matt LaFleur.
A variety of voices throughout the season doubting the Green Bay Packers, all proven wrong as this 13-3 team, maybe the worst. I mean, this is the worst. What a terrible team. The worst 13-3 team you could ever see. Sarcasm font, of course, beating the Seahawks then over the weekend. They are now in the NFC Championship game with a first-year head coach and the off-season stories about will Matt LaFleur be able to get along with Aaron Rodgers seemingly have been put to bed, Frames.
Well, Colin Kaepernick, on that first little comment there, talking about he was told that Matt LaFleur couldn't stand in front of a room and lead a room wrong. Apparently he can.
No. I'm wronging you.
How?
Colin Cowherd.
Colin Kaepernick. Yes. Colin Cowherd, yeah. Colin Cowherd. We got San Francisco on my mind from the last time the Packers, a few years ago, played them in the playoffs. Colin Cowherd stood in front of the room. And
that clip from Colin West there, my goodness.
Might as well. He can't stand in front of the room and lead a group of guys. I mean, that's, how you and I always talk about, you and I make a bad first impression on people.
Terrible.
It takes a while for people to get to know. I think, people who don't know us, I guess, it takes a little bit, okay? Bad first impressions we both make on people, I guess, so people don't really get us.
When I was eating lunch on Friday at Stenny's with the guys from Eagle Disposal, they both told me they hated me to start.
Yeah.
They go, Tim goes, when you first start, I go, you hated me. Everybody hated me. Yes, I know. Everybody just hates me until you get to know me.
And I feel the same thing about me.
Yes.
I think people need to get to know me or whatever. Make the wrong impression of you. Get the wrong impression of you.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing with LaFleur. We saw him at his first press conference, and he barely said anything. And he looked a little meek up there. And I could see where somebody would guess, hey, is this guy ready to lead an NFL team? But then he got into it, and obviously he's capable. He's 13-3. He didn't just fall in there and had 13-3. He did a lot. He deserves mention for Coach of the Year honors for what he's did. He's turned this franchise around. He's developed a relationship with this quarterback. Yeah, he's done a lot of good things. He's turning out to be the right hire, at least so far. Even though Mike Sherman had initial success when he first came into the league, we found out later on, maybe Mike Sherman was over his head both as a head coach and GM of the Green Bay Packers and never had another head coaching job again, despite a winning record in Green Bay.
There is one thing that I do wonder about LaFleur and Rodgers this season, and obviously they get along. I mean, you saw it during the game, you saw it in the post game. These guys are getting along. Here's Matt LaFleur a little bit. Yesterday, he was asked about how much other guys are influencing what plays are called.
If it makes sense, why wouldn't you do it? It doesn't matter where it's coming from. We've got a lot of assistants up there that come up with great plays. It doesn't always have to come from one person. And I think, you got to rely on the collective unit. And it doesn't matter if it's necessarily a player, a coach, whoever. If it makes sense, why wouldn't you do it?
So Matt LaFleur is open to suggestions, but then there's a point where you can be too open to suggestions where your main strategy is hearing from other people. Like, have we heard yet this year, Matt LaFleur called this play? We've heard in just this game, I've heard, Rodgers went to Devontae. Devontae's like, oh, Rodgers just told me I need you here. I'm going to hit you. Jimmy Graham said, Rodgers told me I need you here. I'm going to hit you. Aaron Rodgers was making different play calls. How much of the play calling, and this is not a like a relationship, do they like each other? They like each other. I don't know the answer. I don't know if we can know the answer, anybody besides LaFleur and Rodgers. In that game specifically against Seattle, how much was Rodgers calling those plays? How much was run with what Rodgers wanted to do, not what Matt LaFleur called? I don't know. It seems like Rodgers still has all the free reign that he ever had.
Sure. There was this game earlier against Detroit. Remember, the Packers are struggling offensively, and Rodgers told the coaching staff, get Alan Lazard into the game. He can help us out. He's in the right spots. He can make a few plays. And he did make a few plays and help lead them to the comeback win against the Lions at Lambeau Field. So, yeah, I believe LaFleur when he says there's a lot of people who are part of this and open to suggestions. But LaFleur makes the final decision. That's why he's the head coach. You know, he makes the final decisions. But when you have a quarterback like Rodgers and a guy who's actually playing in the game and the knowledge that he has of the game, why wouldn't you listen to feedback from Rodgers? Or if he wants to do certain things at the line of scrimmage and bounce it off the coach, why wouldn't you? He's been around. He's won an MVP. He knows how to run. He's won a Super Bowl. He knows how to run a team. He's a coach on the field.
I agree with that. I'm just wondering from LaFleur's standpoint, you know, if you get a new boss and then they like take your suggestion and you're like, oh, cool. And then you talk to your other coworkers and they've taken their suggestion and all the boss is doing is taking other people's suggestion and just being the one to stamp on it. What is he even doing? He's just listening to you guys and saying yes. What did he bring to the table? So I don't know. And we'll talk throughout the week if Matt LaFleur is a good coach and he is obviously a better leader in front of a group of men than Colin Kaepernick gave Colin Cowherd
Freudian slip
gave him credit for earlier. But how much of this is his success and how much of this season is Rodgers' success? I still think that is a question. I don't know how much of these plays LaFleur is drawing up or how much he's being credited for being a good coach because he's allowing the players to do what they want to do. It's a fine line. When it's working, everybody's happy. I don't know. I'm going to say LaFleur is a good coach because he's 13-3 and he's going to the NFC Championship game. But if you ask me, what's the evidence for him being a good coach? I'll say he's 13-3. They're going to the NFC Championship game. I can't tell you much more than that.
Well, I think we're still learning a lot about him too. You know, with Mike McCarthy, it really, I thought, took till the second season, the toward the end of the second season, before we finally realized, you know, okay, yeah, he is a pretty good coach. Because he came here in 2006, and he got off to a slow start. He was like 4-8. And he himself even talked about, God, he'd come into the office, and somebody would knock at the door, and he'd be hiding under the table because he was 4-8 in his first year in Green Bay when they had so much success. And he won his final four games in 2006. And then in 2007, they were 13-3, and they went to the NFC Championship game. But I thought at the end of 2007, we thought, okay, yeah, McCarthy is a pretty good coach. He knows what he's doing. You know, there was a relationship with him and Brett Favre. He had led Brett Favre, and Brett Favre wasn't as mistake-prone as he once was, and he had tamed him down a little bit, and Brett Favre was, they were a pretty good unit, those two. And then we saw what he did with Aaron Rodgers the next year and how Aaron, he got Aaron to the playoffs in his fourth year. And then by McCarthy's fifth year, they won a Super Bowl. So I think it takes time before we realize the jury is still out of Matt LaFleur. Obviously, he's got some competence about him. He's got a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. We saw them gazing to each other's eyes after that game against Seattle. They had stars in each other's eyes. But let's learn a little bit more about him by the end of next year.
More from the quarterback, more from the coach coming up. We're back with a report from Mike Clemens in 90 seconds. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
I made two calls on Matt LaFleur last night to NFL sources. You know what they say about Matt LaFleur? People weren't sure he had the stature, the gravitas, and the alpha to lead a group of men as a coordinator, not a coach. The knock on Matt LaFleur is nobody's quite sure if he can stand in front of guys in an offensive meeting and own the room. Aaron Rodgers is aging. He ran a Super Bowl winning coach out of town. Good luck to Matt LaFleur.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers have the day off. They return to the practice field tomorrow. Back in November on Sunday night, the 24th, before Thanksgiving, the Green Bay Packers got carved up in prime time, 37-8 by the 49ers. After that beatdown, here's what Aaron Rodgers told reporters.
I still like our chances. I think we have the makeup to bounce back from these kind of things and put ourselves in a position to potentially come back here and play again.
The Packers won their next six games, and here they are taking on the 49ers at Levi's Stadium for the NFC Conference Championship. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Certainly, I don't think we played our best that day, and, you know, you got to give them a lot of credit. That was probably a reason for that. That's a really talented football team, and we know that, but in order to compete with them, in order to have a chance to beat them, we're going to have to be at our best, and that's everybody, all 11 on that field, and it is a big challenge, but certainly one that, you know, I think our guys will prepare for and be ready to go.
What will be different this time? Packers safety Adrian Amos.
We just that many weeks better. As a team, we've seen where we messed up before. We've seen what doesn't work. And we're going to go over and we're going to find out how much better we got, how much better of a matchup, you know, it's going to be.
That's Adrian Amos in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up.
Right there. Hell of a finish. Four quarter battle. Wouldn't want it any other way, man. You guys don't blink. We don't blink. We stick together. And we fall out there and get the job done. And this is what I love about this team. It took everybody in here. It took everybody in here. And that's what it's going to take next week. Great job, though, man. I'm so proud of you guys.
Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers, who was accused of not being able to lead a group of men. You just heard the audio from Colin Cowherd. He's led them to the NFC Championship game. He's led them to an NFC North Championship, and the Green Bay Packers move on 540 right here on The Fan. Myself and Ryan Horvat, we're going to have a pregame show for you, 3 p.m. on Sunday. More details to come, but as you cozy up to the AFC Championship game, you want to know the latest from Green Bay and San Francisco and who's in, who's out, what's going on. We'll have that for you coming up on Sunday again. More details on that one. You heard from Matt LaFleur just there. Want to hear from Aaron Rodgers a little bit, because I think as he gets a little older, he's soaking in these moments a little bit more. Aaron Rodgers after the game on Sunday after the Packers beat the Seahawks.
Well, it's the last home game of the year, and we have such a special relationship with our fans. Guys who've been other places understand how special it is here. It's just a different connection. We don't have an owner. We have thousands of people who have a piece of paper that's a stock certificate. But people feel like they're invested in what we're doing. And they stuck with us through a couple rough years. So to walk off the field, being a two seed, where, I mean, let's be honest, I don't know that even our fans felt supremely confident in us, which I know that a lot of the media didn't as well. But to be able to walk off that field again victorious, there's no feeling like it. I stopped myself in the second quarter tonight and was looking around when there was a TV timeout and they were waving the flags. And I just couldn't, it was just a special moment, just seeing just the whole stadium waving those white towels. And just, I just think I was really, in that moment, just grateful for the opportunity and loving what I do. I mean, there's nothing like having the ball in your hands in a clutch situation and knowing you got 78,998 or whatever it was today. Most of them, you know, cheering you on.
I always wonder, Chuck, when these guys are in the game, when you're in the game, do you realize the surroundings or do you lock in and just think, There's just a game in front of me. There's just my teammates. There's just 11 guys on the other side. Or do you notice all of the crowd, all of the theatrics? And it's cool to hear Aaron Rodgers say he took a moment to enjoy that, soak that in, and he almost memorized how many fans were in the stadium that day. And he gave, I think what I heard was him giving credit to those of us that bought stock and our owners. I think he appreciates that.
How about that, though? I mean, just if you take a moment and you look around and, you know, you're the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Forget about all of the, you know, the money he's made and all that. But just to look around the field and say, man, you know, I'm in here's there's 80,000 people who've come to watch me and the whole state of Wisconsin and around the country. They're watching me perform right here and trying to lead this team to a victory. That's got to be just the ultimate cool position to be in. That you know you have all that power, and you're sitting there, you're looking around the stands, and there's not an empty seat, and it's 15 degrees outside, and snow is on the way, yet people have come out there and braved all this and spent hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, hotels, and you name it, just to get their way to Green Bay to watch me play. I mean, that's just like the ultimate respect, isn't it?
I think so.
And it's
cool for him to say it back.
Yeah, that he appreciates it is even and more so. I don't remember Aaron ever saying something like that before. Saying, hey, he took a time and he noticed the crowd, and you know the Packers have always acknowledged a crowd. Hey, you know, after a game, oh, it was a great crowd out there. We need the crowd. Mike McCarthy was always good with that. But to hear Aaron say that he did it during the game, that was a cool thing.
Because think of how much, if you're, you know, listening this morning, you're invested in the Packers. Think of how much time and money you've actually invested into the Packers. Probably a lot. You know, whether it's buying stuff, buying gifts, buying tickets, as Chuck just mentioned, making trips to Green Bay, road trips, if you guys do that, which I do each and every year. Even like anytime I go to Target and I don't need anything of the kind, but there's that dumb little shelf that's got Brewers and Packers stuff. Mm-hmm. You know that one shelf?
Yeah.
Right before Home Goods?
Yeah.
And I'll like stand there for 5 minutes and then I end up buying a can koozie, even though I've got 30 of them already. But you see something with that G on it and then you pick it up.
We went to the Packer Pro Shop on Saturday night. And, you know, somebody always in our group is always buying something from there. And that place was jam-packed Saturday night. They were supposed to stay open until 6 o'clock, but they were open until like 9, 10 o'clock. They were giving tours at Lambeau Field. They do the Lambeau Field tours.
LeRoy was doing a bunch this weekend.
But, I mean, they had those things going at 8 o'clock at night still on Saturday night when usually, you know, they're done by about 5. But, you know, there were so many people. There's such a demand for people who are up there. But, I mean, even, you know, going to Packer parties. People going to Packer parties, getting in their car and going to a Packer party, spending gas, making food to go to a Packer party. All that all adds up. But, yeah, we put a lot of investment into all of our sports teams. There's a lot of money buying clothes, like you mentioned, buying stuff off shelves. But, you know, it's good when a player can appreciate it like Aaron Rodgers says he does.
All that money that I've spent there on the Packers, it's great when I hear number 12 say that it's appreciated. Yeah. That's basically, in a nutshell, what Chuck and I are talking about here right now on the Fan. Gosh, dare don't you know.
But people still dislike Aaron Rodgers, no matter what he says.
Yeah, how can you dislike him after that?
Yeah.
Guy loves being a Packer. Isn't that what we want?
Who cares if he bought a $28 million home in Malibu?
Yeah, who cares
He's
if he...
He's in Green Bay for now.
Who cares if he went down from Olivia to Danica? That's just one man's opinion.
Oh, you're going to go there?
That's just one man's opinion.
Well,
who cares if he dates his family?
I think Olivia...
Who cares if he ran Mike McCarthy out of town?
Keep going?
I'm good for now. Yeah. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We will look ahead to this game and how you think they will do, because he said it. Aaron Rodgers said it. A lot of our fans didn't give us a chance in this game against Seattle. What about this next game against San Francisco? Is the ride about to come crashing down like always? Or is this a winnable game? We'll tell you why it may be the latter coming up next.
Thank you. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.